with episode 571 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, and I've just been popping fish oil nonstop. I mean, hey, you never know.
This is Gary from Jacksonville. You know, when I watch TV, I feel like I went to my comic book store and picked up my weekly pull.
And this is Bronson from Australia, and are you interested in some better long-distance rates for your walkie-talkie?
Well, who knows? I mean, we've got a whole lot of stuff. And Gary, I'm still trying to figure out how what you just said is in any way bad. And then I remembered Gotham. So there we are. but no, believe me, between when we get into the episodic discussion and between what we see on these fall schedules, there's a lot of good comics-inspired stuff on TV these days. And whether you want to be just a Marvel fan or a DC fan, or if you have the benefit of being able to enjoy both, you got more than enough to keep yourself satisfied. Yeah, it's pretty good out there. But we are going to start off this episode by getting into the fall schedules for each of the networks. This is the infamous Upfronts week, and each major network has put out what's going to be picked up, when it's going to air, and what stuff is going to be shunted into mid-season. And boy, are there some surprises there that we were not happy to hear about. We'll get into that soon. Damn you, Samaritan. Anyway, let's go ahead and start then. And as we did last week, we're going to do this network by network and then get into a few other small stories as we go. I'm going to go ahead and start us off here with NBC. And we have on Monday night from 8 to 10, The Voice. And then from 10 to 11, a show called Blind Spot. And usually they give you some kind of thing down here about that. But yes, this would be from Greg Berlanti. Oh, I think we all know who that guy is. The Arrow, Flash.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Blind Spot. A vast international plot explodes when a beautiful Jane Doe, covered completely in mysterious, intricate tattoos, is discovered naked in Times Square with no memory of who she is or how she got there. We call it Comic-Con! Anyway, but there's one tattoo that is impossible to miss, the name of FBI agent Kurt Weller emblazoned across her back. Jane, Agent Weller, and the rest of the FBI quickly realize that each mark on her body is a crime to solve, leading them closer to the truth about her identity and the mysteries to be revealed. And yes, the thing that was most notable to me about this is that Jane Doe is being played by Jamie Alexander, Lady Sif herself.
And also notable that they gave it that coveted post-voice spot, which helped launch the Blacklist last season. So they are obviously thinking rather highly of it.
Yes, I enjoyed the promo pictures. I'll just put it that way. It was just her and that tattoos. Come on. Tuesday, we have The Voice again, probably a result show of some kind, from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, a show called Heartbreaker. And if I once again scroll down, we see here that this is based on the real life and achievements of Dr. Kathy Magliotto. This is a unique character-driven medical drama. Okay, medical drama. So basically, it is we've got Melissa George, who has been on a number of shows, but I remember her best for her role on Alias. And I'm looking on the rest, D.L. Hewley, Jamie Kennedy. So, yeah, medical drama. Big surprise. Also on Tuesday nights, we have, from 10 to 11 through November, The Best Time Ever with Neil Patrick Harris.
Because isn't it always?
The Emmy Awards are on early this year? Oh, sorry.
Five Emmy Awards and a Tony Award make multi-talented Neil Patrick Harris the perfect star for this live one-hour show, unlike any other currently on American television. Complete with stunts, skits, pranks, audience interaction, musical numbers, giveaways, and unlimited surprises, this show proves that anything can happen, and it can happen to you. Yes,
it's an old-school variety show.
Yes,
it is. It is a kind of a take on the wildly popular British hit Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway. So it's a kind of a British import, but with Neil Patrick Harris.
Didn't they try one of those last year or the year before? Maya Rudolph did one?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't think it did very well.
Yeah, you know, I think that if you're going to throw anybody at this to try and make it work, Neil Patrick Harris is probably your best bet.
Yeah, true that.
That will be replaced after November with Chicago Fire. Chicagoverse now being the replacement for the ubiquitous Law and Order, apparently.
Yes.
I guess Chicago's offering better discounts to filmmakers than New York City.
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's exactly what it was. Wednesday nights are all returning shows. We have 8 to 9, The Mysteries of Laura, 9 to 10, Law & Order SVU, and 10 to 11, Chicago PD. All right. On Thursday nights, we have what is probably the first big kind of... Blind Spot at least was interesting, but this one is probably the one that has the most buzz on the NBC slate here, and that is from 8 to 9, Heroes Reborn, also known as Season 5 Yay. Of Heroes. One thing I want to see here is who is involved with it, and let's just kind of once again see what it says from, there's my first answer, from original creator Tim Kring.
Oh, so you know it's going to be good.
Yeah. I'll just leave it there.
So what else is on that?
Yeah, well, then we have The Blacklist from 9 to 10. And then from 10 to 11, we have The Player. And The Player would be from the executive producers of The Blacklist, starring Wesley Snipes. He's out of jail.
Yeah.
And Philip Winchester.
Who is the guy who should have been the main character in Camelot?
Okay.
Just so you have that point of reference.
All right, yeah, that works. Comes an action-packed Las Vegas thriller about a former military operative turned security expert who is also a vampire. Who is drawn into a high-stakes game where an organization of wealthy individuals gamble on his ability to stop. This sentence never ends. I'm stopping there. Basically, it seems like your typical kind of action thriller type of show, which being on Thursday.
But can he take them down from the inside and get revenge for the death of his wife? Or is it true what they say, the house always wins?
Cue the CSI Miami theme.
Yeah. It's just like you don't quite realize how bad a pitch it is until you read it in a dramatic voice.
Yeah, you need to have typical voiceover guy. Where's Ken when I need him? Okay, so that's Thursday nights. Friday night we have 8 to 8:30 Undateable. And then there's a new comedy, I believe, 8:30 to 9, called People Are Talking. That is followed up by the next season of Grimm, which is finally redeeming its season arc in the last few episodes here. And that will be followed up, as usual, 10 to 11, Dateline. Saturday nights are, as usual, A Wasteland. And then, in the fall at least, it is basically football night in America. Now, other things that are on here. New comedies coming sometime in the mid-season. The Return of Coach. Okay. There's a show called Crowded.
Which is basically the American version of an Aussie show called Packed to the Rafters, except probably not as good as that show, and that show was not very good to begin with, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You'll know that it's a really quality adaptation if you can take any 30 seconds of the show and use it as an ad for something.
Let's see. Hot and Bothered is a comedy that is not on schedule but could be coming. Here you go. If you think the steamy sex, sensational scandals, and wrenching heartbreak on Latino soap operas are a little extreme, wait until you see what happens behind the scenes. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hey, Corumba. Yeah.
There's a show called Superstore with America Ferrara from Ugly Betty, a workplace comedy. So, yeah, we've got a whole lot of things here that are, You, Me, and the End of the World. In this bold, adrenaline-fueled one-hour comedy drama, the news that a comet is on an unavoidable collision course with Earth sets in motion the most hilariously unexpected chain of events imaginable. That's not talking that up at all. This is starring Rob Lowe, Jenna Fisher, Megan Mullally.
Wait a minute. This sounds like they got something mixed up in a sci-fi Saturday night movie made it to NBC.
Yeah. But it's a series.
Oh, series.
No. It's a they did this movie already. If you've seen what was it called? It was like Looking for a Friend for the End of the World. it was a Steve Carell movie. That was like a more serious Steve Carell movie. So it's still funny, but not, you know, genital jokes.
I'm reading this description here. And this is how it's reading. The story follows an eclectic group of seemingly unconnected characters around the world as their lives start to intersect in the most unexpected ways. When we say eclectic, we mean a rebellious priest. This is exactly how it's written. An unhinged white supremacist, a mild-mannered bank manager, a germ-phobic cyber terrorist, and an American five-star general. Who decided to make a watered-down Cards Against Humanity and use that to make a show pitch?
It's the next sentence that gets me. Some of these misfits are destined to make it to a bunker deep beneath the English suburbs of Slough. It's the post-apocalyptic office.
Yes.
Exactly.
I just like the way that it's written. It's like, seriously.
It was like they handed out, like, they got about 5 or 6 copywriters. Like, okay, you take the first sentence, you take the second sentence, you take the third sentence. Shouldn't we collaborate? No, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, so I went down the rest of the list, and I'm not seeing anything really necessary to talk about. So those are the ones. I got to say, though, that the more that I read this really bizarre PR thing here or description, this You, Me, and the End of the World, looks like it might be worth a look. At least I want to know which Rob Lowe they're talking about. Is it going to be, you know, in high school Rob Lowe? Is it, you know, which one?
I'll ask my friend Kevin to grade it.
Yeah.
Makes Bad Decisions Rob Lowe the 5-star American general?
All characters are in fact played by Rob Lowe.
Yes.
Rob Lowe's Orphan Black.
I would watch the hell out of that show. Language. Anyway. Oh boy.
Did you say language?
Yes.
And for gosh sake, what's your language?
CBS has their schedule out, and we'll get to the big problem with that real soon. Monday nights, we have The Big Bang Theory. I guess they moved that permanently over into that slot, followed by a new show called Life in Pieces. Life in Pieces being, if I find it, and it's not happening quickly, I'm not seeing it on here at all. Oh, well. So much for that idea.
It is a comedy.
It is a comedy. So,
an irreverent look at a family's sometimes awkward, often hilarious, and ultimately beautiful milestone moments.
Okay, that's descriptive.
Is James Brolin's in this? Diane Weiss, James Brolin, Colin Hanks, Thomas Sadowski, Betsy Brand. It's like, wow, they got a decent cast for this. But it sounds so horrible.
Okay, yeah, it does.
Big budget.
So, okay, so it's on Monday nights through the football season because on NBC, Thursdays in the fall, it's Thursday Night Football. So Big Bang Theory and this new show are on Monday nights. When they switch to their regular Thursday time period, the new action-adventure drama Supergirl will open on Mondays at 8. So it'll be up against Gotham. Sorry, Gotham.
Ooh. Yep.
I know what I'm DVRing.
You mean I might not be able to watch Gotham? Oh, no, whatever will I do?
Watch Supergirl. All right. And when you are done doing that, you can, if you so choose, then continue to watch with the return of Scorpion at 9 and the return of NCIS Los Angeles at 10. So Supergirl, okay, first kind of semi-bad news. It's going to be a little while before it's on the regular schedule. That's the way it looks to me right here. Tuesday nights, the return of yet again, the show that never ends because it keeps getting amazing ratings, NCIS returning at 8 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock, NCIS New Orleans, and then a show that I didn't see coming at all and heard nothing about, so I was kind of like, what? Limitless. Yes, a TV adaptation of the film from a few years ago that not only did the film star Bradley Cooper, but he is going to be recurring on as a guest character on this show. Uh-huh. Yes.
His career is not that bad.
No, but
he's
apparently
doing well. He's got a movie coming out.
He really likes this. Liked the film and making anyway. So it's a, you know, they basically have another character that has this drug NZT that brings about this change in his brain. This guy Jake McDorman is, I guess, taking on that role. Also in the show, Jennifer Carpenter, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, which of course anyone who watches Grimm knows why that's going to happen now. But who's involved in here? We have some people behind the scenes: Alex Kurtzman, Robert Orci, Bradley Cooper is an executive producer. Well, there you go. He can cast himself as he sees fit. Yeah. So the pilot was directed by Mark Webb of Amazing Spider-Man fame. Anyhow. So yeah, there's that. And I mean, it's intriguing that they're making a TV series out of the film. Like I said, I didn't see it coming at all. And usually this stuff is pretty well telegraphed. Wednesday night, Survivor once again opening the night at 8. Criminal Minds will never go away and is coming in at 9 o'clock again. And then it is going to be followed up by the new medical drama Code Black at 10. Thursday is confusing, as I mentioned, because of Thursday Night Football. However, after Big Bang Theory and Life in Pieces at 9 o'clock will be the show Mom. and then a new comedy at 9:30, Angel from Hell. No, it is not a spinoff from Supernatural. This is a show that is starring Jane Lynch. Also,
yeah, that makes me wish it was a spinoff of Supernatural.
Also, Maggie Lawson will be on the show, who I believe was on Psych. Kevin Pollak. Basically, there's some people who were behind 30 Rock that were involved in this. But basically, it's a show about Jane Lynch's character, a colorful, brassy woman who insinuates herself into the life of, you know, some woman's organized and seemingly perfect life, claiming to be her guardian angel.
Some stuff happens. You'll laugh. You'll cry.
Hilarity ensues. Yes. So that's Thursday nights for us there. Oh, and Elementary will, of course, be coming back at 10 p.m. Notice Elementary coming back in the fall. Just pointing that out.
Yes.
Fridays. Amazing Race coming back again at 8. I'm okay with that because it's a good reality show, actually. And then Hawaii 5-0 still. Hawaii 5-0 at 9. Blue Bloods at 10. Two shows that for every single season since their first season's destined to be canceled, but no, they're still here once again on the fall schedule. Just reinforcing this. Sunday nights, 7 o'clock, of course, is 60 Minutes, followed by at 8 o'clock, Madam Secretary, a show that everybody was surprised actually kind of picked up after not so great ratings the first two episodes. The Good Wife, once again, coming back at 9. CSI will be wrapping up with a two-hour series finale, Farewell, and then the 10 o'clock hour will be taken by the renewed and coming back in the fall, CSI Cyber.
I guarantee you if Patricia Arquette had not won an Oscar, there is no way that show would be coming back.
Ted Danson's joining up too. So
yes, going from the one show.
Is he reprising his role?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, yeah, that's exactly what it is. So coming out, CBS is now touting their year-round programming strategy, rolling out series throughout the season, including, here we go, Two Broke Girls, Mike and Molly, The Odd Couple, Undercover Boss, and Person of Interest.
The thrilling drama Person of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
The thrilling drama that's only getting 13 episodes next season, Person of Interest.
Yes.
The show that is right now. Yeah, everything on the network.
Yes.
Yeah, and not just only 13 episodes, but the Person of Interest Facebook boards have been kind of on fire about this. But no, they are also apparently just still discussing whether or not this will be the final season.
Ooh. Hey, here's a thought, guys. Yeah, it's probably the final season. Yeah. Now, I am going to give this small bit of context of all the plethora of shows of one-hour dramas and everything else that were renewed.
Mm-hmm.
The only show that got shoved into mid-season, Person of Interest, is also the only show that is not produced by CBS themselves. So, it is the one show on their schedule that, regardless of ratings, is in its fifth season, not owned by the same company that owns the studio and the network.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're in that danger zone of costs going way up.
Not to mention the fact that it does, of course, film in New York, which means it is more expensive.
Yes. This cuts down on walking into New York and just kind of happening to find myself on the, on the same street as them filming.
Yes.
It was becoming a trend. Anyway, I'm disappointed in this, but at the same time, let me put it this way. If they could get the news early enough that they know this is the last 13 episodes, given where they left things off, okay. They could end it pretty well if they found out early enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my main takeaway is, please let, please let them know soon or just that... Jonah and Greg Plagerman, see the writing on the wall and just presume that, we can write these 13 episodes and just go straight serialized, no need for fillers, and just bring it to a decent end, with the out to continue if we get the chance.
Exactly. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Moving over to Fox, this will be quick. Monday night's Gotham, which, and then followed up by the new series Minority Report, which I know we had heard about before, but I'm still a little bit stunned that they decided to make a TV show out of that film. But it's so many years later anyway. We'll see. Tuesday we have basically Grandfathered and The Grinder, which are two new comedies. Basically, Tuesday Night for Fox is completely new. And then we have Scream Queens, which I believe is the latest Ryan Murphy show, if I'm remembering correctly.
And yes, it is.
Okay, yes. There are some names on here that I'm sure some people will be interested in hearing. Emma Roberts, Jamie Lee Curtis, Lea Michele from Glee, Abigail Breslin, and many, many others. But basically, it is a farcical, Scream-esque type of show. On Wednesday nights, there is the new show Rosewood, which I don't think is remotely in our wheelhouse, as I recall before.
Not even a little.
Empire coming back for those who enjoyed that first season. I know quite a few people who did. Not really our kind of thing, though. Thursday nights, Bones still on the air. I'm as shocked and awed as many of you because that was rumored for cancellation year after year. Sleepy Hollow moving from Monday nights to Thursday nights. I'm just happy it's still on. Mm. Fridays, Master Chef Junior and World's Funniest. Basically, they're giving up on Friday night. Sunday nights is their animation block. And here is the thing, yet again, just got to mention, Simpsons, still there.
What season is this, like?
27?
Yeah.
I think so, yes.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, oddly enough, they've basically taken their animation block and kind of broken it up with some of these comedies that they decided to renew, so that's a little bit interesting. I think it's a good idea for them to do that because there are people who definitely enjoy the live action comedies here. I know that Last Man on Earth is kind of a give or take show, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine I've heard nothing but good things about. So,
yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is so much fun.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You haven't listened until you've had Andre Brower in all seriousness turn to almost right to the camera and say, "You can call me Velvet Thunder." It's like, yes, sir.
And now you have a new nickname. Let's see here. Now, of course.
We're currently piling up.
Yeah, just slightly. The other big piece of news for Fox, of course, is that in mid-season, namely January, we have the 6-episode return of The X-Files. Looks like it's a completely new cast. David Duchovny and...
David Duchovny.
Yes, Gillian Anderson and some Chris Carter guy. I don't know.
I want to believe it's going to be a good show, but I'm just having a hard time.
They're coming back to the X-Files to investigate the strangest, most paranormal mystery yet. How the hell the X-Files got back on TV?
Especially after that second movie. We also have in mid-season... No, look, in all fairness, I'm looking forward to it because if nothing else, let's see if if they can redeem themselves or not. And I was a big X-Files fan back in the day. Hopefully it won't be 6 episodes of Mulder and Scully giving themselves, staring at each other's eyes and whatnot. Mid-season, Frankenstein Code. What would you do with a second chance? This comes from Howard Gordon. A modern reimagining of the Mary Shelley classic. Basically, it's Frankenstein on TV, guys. And I'm not seeing any names of people who are involved in this that are really jumping out as big, like, draws. Sorry. There's also, now, Gary, you might be able to inform us a little bit on this one, Lucifer. This, of course, being based on the Vertigo property.
And we couldn't keep
Different network.
So, yeah.
Different network.
Very similar.
Isn't it, though?
Very similar.
The more I read about Lucifer, the more my head hurts.
Well, it's just, it's like Constantine, but just like not as well developed.
And in a nightclub.
Lucifer, the Lord of Hell, who reigns over the souls of the damned, moves into LA and solves crimes? Like, this sounds like this sounds like a thing that would come like second or third in a hand of Cards Against Humanity.
Right? A lot of,
like,
these do.
Yeah. It's like someone would play it just to dump the Lucifer card.
Or television themed refrigerator poetry. Anyhow.
Can the devil be tempted by good?
Ooh. He's the devil. Guess and no.
Time slot.
Yeah, well, every premise is you do the refrigerator poetry and then you end it while solving crimes. It's a show.
Yeah. I have to mention, just to make it even better, I mean, this is not only coming from Jerry Bruckheimer, but also a production company called Aggressive Mediocrity.
Truth in advertising.
Well, at least we know what we're getting in for.
We're setting the bar early. Speaking of which, Fox is also developing another version of 24 now that Kiefer Sutherland has decided he will not be taking up the reins of Jack Bauer again. They are going to try to figure out a way to, however, continue to franchise. Whether or not Aggressive Mediocrity Studios will be involved is anyone's guess.
I'm going to be laughing about that for days.
It's going to be a meme. This that could just get way too meta for anybody.
Oh, man, my face hurts.
ABC's schedule for the fall, starting on Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., Dancing with the Stars. There we go again. And then 10 to 11, we have The Return of Castle. Again, a show that I thought was pretty much kind of winding down, but I guess maybe the season...
I've been watching Castle since the start, and it's always like consistently been fun. This season finale for season 7 aired just this week. They really framed that one as a series finale. Like if they had ended the show there, it would have been very satisfying.
My recollection, and I may be thinking of a different show, but my recollection was that everyone involved with the show was kind of expecting this to be the last season, and that's why I was a little surprised that it came back. But at any rate. Tuesdays, we have I'm still a little stunned that they managed to do it. The Muppets coming back to TV. And
it's time to get things started.
I'll admit it. I'll be watching.
Well, it's only half a season, too. So
yes, it is, because then it will be, quote-unquote, replaced by Fresh Off the Boat.
Funny show.
In the fall at 8:30 we'll be Fresh Off the Boat, then followed up in mid-season by a new show called The Real O'Neills. Tuesday night will then finally kind of kick back into proper gear with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at 9 o'clock. So we'll have a little bit of a break between The Muppets and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe catch up on The Flash in between. And then at 10 there will be the new show Quantico, which I'm assuming is about anything but a government agency. And Wicked City will be the mid-season replacement. And I love the way that they put this. Gap a la Agent Carter. Why do I like that? Because they're using Agent Carter as an example of what they're doing with things, because Agent Carter is that established in their minds. There you go.
That is a good sign.
Yeah. It is a good sign.
That is possibly the only good sign about Wicked City, from what I can tell.
Yeah. But hey, they're using Agent Carter as a action verb. Or of action noun, or whatever you want to call it. Wednesday, we have The Middle, The Goldbergs, Modern Family, and Blackish. Take your sitcoms as you so desire. At 10 o'clock, we have The Continuing Adventures of Nashville. And then Secrets and Lies, which will be mid-season. Again, Gap a la Agent Carter. Thursday nights, Grey's Anatomy, still on the air, despite having apparently killed off everyone but the main character.
Yeah, I thought they were all dead. Oh,
And then, of course, since this is the Shonda Rhimes night on ABC, followed that with Scandal, and then How to Get Away with Murder, and something called The Catch, which I actually think is still a Shonda Rhimes show, if I remember correctly. And
yeah.
Right. See, there you go. Thursday night, Shonda Rhimes night. And then we have on Friday, Last Man Standing, a new show called Dr. Ken, and then Uncle Buck. Seriously?
Yes. Yes.
Based on
the show out of everything.
Based on the movie, but with an African American family.
Wait a second. The show is Uncle Buck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not even going there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody
made a really bad decision there because I think they just did not realize. But anyway,
I'm waiting for the Polish jokes.
The thing is, though, just looking at how it's listed on the webpage, it's because it's all capital stuff like that, it's very easy to miss the slash. And so in my head, I'm trying to think, I was like, what would a show called Dr. Can Uncle Buck be about? It may sound like a country bumpkin doctor.
Moving on to 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
It's the guy who puts the Dukes of Hazzard back together after they break something in a massive car crash.
Does moonshine on the side. It's a whole thing. Shark Tank in 2020, which are staples of the Friday night for ABC. Sunday nights, we have America's Funniest Home Videos, which I can't believe they're actually still doing. Mm-hmm. Once Upon a Time is still on the air. And from what I understand, Once Upon a Time is almost kind of like the same kind of thing as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where the bar for staying on the air for that is really kind of low.
No royalties to pay.
Yeah, exactly. It's branding. It really is. Like, the whole last season, from what I understand, was just frozen on TV. But the main thing that's important to those of us who have, you know, certain tastes of comedy, Gallivant will be in the mid-season. So we'll ignore that time slot completely until those 4 weeks.
You know what I love? You know what I love, though? In the list, the way they've got this listed, they've got returning shows are in, like, you know, lowercase. And then new shows are in capitals, or you know, all capital letters. Except for Gallivant, which is a returning show, but it's all in capitals. I think that's because they know the only correct way to pronounce it is Gallivant.
Yeah, exactly. That's followed up by a show called Oil, which I'm imagining is about granite shortages.
The Bush family dynasty?
Must be. It's like Dallas 2.0, 3.0, whatever. Yeah, there you go. And then from 10 to 11, there is a show called Of Kings and Prophets with a mid-season replacement of The Family. Now I'm wondering if those are even remotely, like, Of Kings and Prophets is an epic biblical saga of faith, ambition, and betrayal, as often it is, as told through the eyes of a battle-weary king, a powerful, resentful prophet, and a resourceful young shepherd on a collision course with destiny. So I'm guessing Saul, David, and all them. And that's king going to...
That's King David.
Yeah, well, not at this point. He's a young shepherd. But somehow in the middle of that, they're going to plop this show, The Family, which is a thriller showing the return of a politician's young son, presumed dead after disappearing over a decade earlier. Yeah, those go together. But this one is the one I think, Edmund, you were talking about this a couple weeks ago. It has Joan Allen, Alison Pill.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the two that jump out. Rupert Graves, of course, everyone is like in everything. Andrew McCarthy is still alive?
Apparently.
No, I was serious. I really thought that he had died.
No.
So I'm glad that he at least has work.
And is alive.
Yes. Well, that was implied. Yes, so I'm just looking through here to see
the only thing I'll mention is that American Crime has been renewed, which was a bit of a surprise, but we also got confirmation that they are going the True Detective American Horror Story route, where it's returning but with a new crime in a different setting. Some of the cast will return, but in different characters.
I actually kind of like that. Sounds promising.
Yeah, absolutely.
For that, it works for that show. But anyway,
so it's more American Horror Story than True Detective.
Maybe like a mixture.
Yeah.
It seems.
Yeah.
Well, American Horror Story, don't they? Like they keep most of the cast, mm-hmm. but new characters.
Yeah, exactly.
True Detective, it's like it's a complete overhaul of the cast.
Right. Well, I think what Edmund was getting at was that, you know, like True Detective, it's a different story, completely different story. But in this case, it's kind of like taking the True Detective model, putting it on a network with the American Horror Story kind of reshuffling of the cast. But yes, we're all talking about the same thing and correcting each other about the exact same thing. That's just the way it works, because we're just... Let's get good news. Mockingbird and Hunter to remain on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm glad.
Yeah.
As opposed to getting their own show.
Hey. Yeah. It could have been they were supposed to get their own show, but they're not coming back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That would have been the bad turning of events anyway. CW, this will be, of course, be starting on Monday, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, new series, followed by Jane the Virgin. So that opens up Monday nights for Supergirl in a nice way. Tuesday, however, is a nice combo. This is where the CW continues to add value with The Flash and iZombie, followed on Wednesdays by Arrow and Supernatural. And then Thursday, The Vampire Diaries, and finally they realize they should have done this, The Vampire Diaries followed by The Originals.
This is only what? So it's third season they're finally putting them together?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that they can... And since The Vampire Diaries is effectively rebooting itself next season... It's like there's two new shows in that universe. There you go. And then Friday, we'll have Rain moving into Friday nights with America's Next Top Model. And, of course, mid-season it's a little disappointing that this is when they are choosing to do this, since I don't know why they thought that it would be better to put Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on instead. But
as possibly the only person on this show who will, I'll defend Crazy Ex-Girlfriend even though I haven't seen it, just because I really like Rachel Bloom comedy.
Surely there are... All right, look, I get... Starring Rachel Bloom as an unhappy lawyer who quits her job and moves across the country in search of love with her inner monologue providing irreverent musical interludes. It has some promise.
Oh, yeah,
I will give you that.
If it's, you know, if it could be Garfunkel and Oates-esque, I'll mm-hmm. be happy.
I like the way you think. Let's see here. So mid-season, we have DC's Legends of Tomorrow. I was kind of hoping for the fall, but I'll take it. A show called Containment, which is the kind of Walking Dead meets CW. When a mysterious and deadly epidemic breaks out in Atlanta, it must have been after DragonCon. A vast urban quarantine is quickly enforced.
That would have been a twist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cosplayers stuck. Yes, exactly. Forcing those stuck in the inside to fight for their lives while local and federal officials desperately search for a cure. Yeah, it's basically the early days of the zombie apocalypse as seen through the eyes of many, many characters, including Claudia Black, coming to this show. I don't recognize too many of the others, though, offhand. However, this is... let's see who we've got attached to this. You've got Julie Plec, who is... basically the Vampire Diaries shows, so at least she has a track record on the CW, and David Nutter, who was involved with the pilot for The Flash and Arrow. The 100 coming back mid-season again for its third season, so there's that. But from what I understand, the CW is not simply abandoning it to mid-season. Instead, they made a very big point of the fact that they made a deal with Netflix to get the first two seasons on Netflix so that they can get people to binge watch the first two seasons before the third season comes out, because they do not want to – they don't want the show to die on the vine, so to speak. It was actually part of their presentation. They made a very pointed discussion on the 100, even as they were going crazy with the Arrowverse – oh, wait. I'm sorry. What is it? What did you rebrand it, Ronstam?
Oh, the DCW?
Yes, there you go.
My initial pitch was the Flarrowverse. But no, like, I don't know, I was just trying that out, but no, now I'm committed, the DCW.
It works.
Oh, absolutely.
We need to spread this as far as we can. This needs to be the official thing. I want to see the hashtag on screen when the next season of Arrow and the Flash starts. Make it happen, people. Come on.
All right. No, we can get that started. That's no problem. All right. Now, as we go, that's it. That's the network up front. Does it seem to you, at least, you know, traditional networks concerned, other than the CW having an awful lot of stuff that we watch these days, kind of sparse?
Most definitely.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what that doesn't necessarily mean that the schedule doesn't have a lot on it because of the cable and alternative networks. So we have a little bit of movie news. If you remember back a few weeks ago, there was some speculation that that when Bryan Singer and all these cast members left the X-Men franchise after their contracts run out with X-Men Apocalypse, that the entire X-Men universe of films would end.
Marvel would hope.
No such luck for them, unfortunately, because nope. Fox is going to keep it going because we already knew that because Deadpool and Gambit are movies that they want to keep making. And now they're talking spin-off film New Mutants. Now, the thing that's interesting here is that the director that they chose for this, who's I don't think is on this particular article, is not available to do the film for another couple of years. So they have this on the schedule for a couple of years from now, but they're announcing it currently in pre-production and so forth. So fact of the matter is that while Bryan Singer may be walking away and handing off the reins of the next X-Men films to someone else, Fox has no intention of letting this go. And quite frankly, I don't know why they should, because the X-Men films are the only non-MCU films that seem to be doing just fine right now. So there we are. Any thoughts on that, Gary?
No. I'm fine with that. I'm good. As you said, they've managed to be able to do what Sony hasn't. So
yeah, and we've also got word that the next Planet of the Apes film will be Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So we'll just have to. I'm glad that they're coming out with another one. I liked the two ones recently.
No, Dawn was the last one. The new one is War of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes director.
Yeah.
This is where I'm...
Yeah, there was Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
It's a long
game. Which was the soft reboot with James Franco.
Yes.
And then Dawn, which was the previous one, which was Caesar-tastic.
Yes.
And now the next one's going to be War of the Planet of the Apes.
Thank you for the correction. And yes, the point being that I am still looking forward to where they go from here because I like both of the films. We have some casting news. There you go. Gary, why don't you take this first one? This is in your wheelhouse.
Okay, let's see. If I can get my thing to work right. Yes, we're talking about casting news for the standalone Star Wars movie titled Rogue One. Elysium actor Diego Luna has reportedly joined the cast of the upcoming film.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit of casting news there. And as we continue to get more information about the first of these anthology films.
Yeah, so. it's interesting that, you know, while they're trying to make such a break and push forward with the new trilogy, that they're sort of catering to both the classic fan as well with these I don't know, filler movies, if you want to call it that.
Hmm. I'm hoping that they're not filler movies. Let's put
it that way. I just mean to say they're not advancing the greater storyline. They're a little, you know, filling in details as opposed to pushing forward.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We also have news about the Ratchet and Clank animated movie. Now, I knew that they were doing this. However, I was not expecting this kind of cast. So we have, as far as casting is concerned, Paul Giamatti, John Goodman, Bella Thorne, Rosario Dawson, and Sylvester Stallone. Okay. Now, the names that they give here, Chairman Drek and so forth, really suggest that they are adapting the storyline from the first game, which, incidentally, this year is going to be remastered and kind of upgraded for the PS4 era. So I think that they are really making a push to make this animated film work. And, yep, actually, it's exactly what it is, as I read here. The storyline is almost exactly the same as that first game that's being redone. So there you go.
Yeah. And I do also I do like that they are actually bringing in the voice talent from the game for the main characters.
Oh, they would have to.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. We have one last piece of casting news, and this one is about as slight as you get. Kate Beckinsale coming back for a fifth Underworld film. No word on whether or not there will be a new skin tight cat suit or it will be returning from previous films as well. But that's about it. Lots of news from the networks, obviously. And what that means, of course, is that there will be the inevitable jockeying and changing of schedules in order to try to maximize things and so forth. But really, what's the Edmund, what's the one show that's maybe new coming out that is kind of got your interest the most here?
I actually go back to the very beginning at NBC. Blindspot has me intrigued because of Berlanti's track record over on the DCW. But at the same time, I think there is also the huge potential for Heroes Reborn to be either decent or so bad it's just good hate watching.
I think people are hate watching just the trailers that are coming. Anyway. Gary, how about you? What's your highlight for what the networks are putting out in the fall?
Oh, hands down, Supergirl. I can't wait. I'm very excited about that. I'm a little ambiguous about them recasting Jimmy Olsen, but I think back to when Smallville did it with Pete Ross, so I have high hopes.
Yeah, I also enjoyed that that extended clip that they showed. That was definitely worth the wait. Bronze Thumb. What on this list has got your eye?
Predictably enough, it's probably a toss-up between Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow. I'm one of the few in the crowd who's not automatically dead set against the title of Legends of Tomorrow, but maybe that's just because I'm not so invested in comics, and even though I've heard of The Brave and the Bold, my knee-jerk reaction was, well, of course, that's what you call it! but yeah, I'm excited about the DCW expanding. And it's got a really good cast. That preview looked fun. I like the idea of a show in that universe that is set up for a team, as opposed to the other ones where there's a hero who has a support structure. I imagine this will give a chance for a lot of these characters to really shine in a way that they haven't that they necessarily haven't on the parent shows. Not that they were bad on the parent shows or anything, but giving them a chance to be a bit more front and center.
Mm. Yeah, you guys picked basically if I were to say my top three, those are the three. Now, just to round out this episode very quickly, I'm just going to go ahead and move our attention over to the bottom three shows for the week, because we can get through these relatively quickly. Coming in as the first of our three here is The Good Wife, Season 6, Episode 22, Wanna Partner? Season 6 ends with Alicia getting a suspicious call from a client and discovering that he's being held in a secret police facility where people are detained without officially being booked. And what's interesting here is that came in number one at an average of 7.25, but where for a good stretch of the season, Henry was really not liking this season at all, but Nadim was loving it. In the finale, we have the inverse. Henry coming in at an 8, Nadim at a 6.5. So this has been a very divisive season of The Good Wife, but it still is getting great ratings, so there you go. We have Lost Girl, Season 5, Episode 4, When God Opens a Window. Bo and Tamsin are divided over a young Fae who comes to them for help. At the same time, Trick asks Dyson for assistance, handling a mysterious case. And Edmund and I both gave this an average 7. Anything to say about this one, Edmund?
Yeah, just that they're still trying to shake the kinks out with the the new lineup. I mean, even though it is the same cast members, but that whole loss of Kenzie, they're obviously still feeling. And Bo and Tamsin as roommates, but more sort of antagonistic roommates. It still isn't quite gelling, so far as I can tell.
Yeah, and they keep on increasing more and more them trying to glam up Tamsin, which is not bad, but also weird.
Yeah.
And then also rounding out our bottom three here is Dig, Season 1, Episode 10, Armageddon Protocol. In the finale, Peter races to stop the Order of Moriah from destroying the Temple Mount and bringing about the end of days. A trapped Lynn takes matters into her own hands, and Billingham faces a flaw in his plan. In other events, Peter uncovers all the answers in the Emma Wilson case, because a police case is on the same level as the end of the world. I gave this one an average 7, and that was only because of a few little twists at the end. But to be honest, when my wife and I got to the end of this, we both sat there staring at the screen and went, "That's it?" And then I remembered, oh yeah, Tim Kring was involved. Lasai. So yes, but the takeaway here is that our bottom three shows, the bottom show for this week came in at an average 7, which means everything else that we are going to talk about next time is an above average 8 or above. So that's saying something. This was a very good week with a lot of these season finales and penultimate episodes out there. So when we come back next time, we're going to get into that episodic discussion.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google+, under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.